Hello, welcome to our women's meeting. And I love it. I can see your names to my right. It's kind of cool to see all that have joined us today that are joining in prayer. And I thank you that there is a group of women and men that are endeavoring to walk in the kingdom of God, in the power of God, not just words, but in power. And that's the kingdom. The kingdom is in power. Let's open with prayer. My Heavenly Father, I thank you. My Heavenly Father, I thank you. Open our eyes that we can see. Open our ears that we can hear. Open our hearts like you did for Lydia. And we can attend unto the things which are spoken. Turn us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. But Father, I ask for a spirit of grace on this meeting, a spirit of grace, a spirit of grace on this meeting. And I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have been talking about Jesus, and we've been talking about how Jesus did it. We know, well, let's go right to the word. I've got it set up here. I'm going to keep my video on. It should be on. We're still learning. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Push the wrong button. Let's do it this way. All right. I believe. Please forgive me. Let me do it this way. It's not showing up like it should. Well, we're just going to go ahead and do it anyway. Let's take a look at the word. The first place I'm going to go to is 1 John 2:6, and we're going to take a look at that. I have it up here in the Bible. 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. We talked about this in the last couple meetings. He that saith, and that would be us, that he abideth in Jesus, ought himself also to walk even as Jesus walked. That we know, and we are looking at it, we are taking a closer look at how Jesus did it. Because if we're going to walk like he did, we're going to have to know how he walked. Now, the next verse that we're going to go to is Luke 6:40. Now, let's take a look at this one. Luke 6:40, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. You see those words? The disciple, and that's what we are endeavoring to be, a disciple of Jesus, is not above his master. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So what are we aiming to be? We're aiming to be just like Jesus. We talked about that last week. We talked about as we gaze into Jesus, as we get more knowledge of him, as we get more of his word in our heart, we become just as he is. And it says, everyone that is perfect will be just like Jesus. Now, I want you to consider, it says the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So the things that we look at, that Jesus went through, those things that he experienced, all the things that he had to walk through, we're going to have to do the same thing. If we say that we can do the works of Jesus and not walk like he walked, not have to go through the experiences that he did, then we are saying that we are greater than our master. Do you see that? We are saying we are greater than our master, and that cannot be. We are going to have to walk just like Jesus walked. Last week, we talked about how Jesus had to be tempted. He was a man. Jesus had to be tempted like a man. He had to walk as we did. You know, it's a beautiful fact when you take a look at it. And God was ministering this to me this morning. It says that Jesus, when he was on the cross, that the eternal spirit was with him. That the eternal spirit was the one that was putting the sin on Jesus. So the Holy Ghost was with Jesus. He was putting all our sin on Jesus. And then it goes on to say that in Acts that God raised him from the dead. that the Spirit of God went down and got Jesus. So we have the Spirit of God that put the sin on him. And then we have the Spirit of God that raised him from the dead. But it's the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, could not do what Jesus did. It had to be a man. It had to be a man. So the Holy Ghost was there with him in the beginning and the end, but it had to be a man. And we're going to have to walk just like he walked. And isn't it amazing? I don't know if you can hear it, but our neighbor just decided to mow their lawn. God bless. All right, if you will turn with me to 1 Peter 2:21, we're going to take a look at this one. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Now look at this. For even hereunto were you called. Now, this is what we're called to. So we're going to take a look at what we are called to if we want to be like Jesus. It says, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So we know that we are going to have to suffer like Jesus did. And we suffer when we're tempted. We suffer when we're tempted. When we're tempted not to believe, when we're tempted to quit, when we're tempted to think that we're not able. You know, Christ had the same temptations we talked about last week. Everything that we have been tempted with, Jesus was tempted with. So it says here, for even hereunto were you called, you. If you are endeavoring to be a disciple of Jesus, you are called to do this because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Now there is a temptation. There is a temptation. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Do you see we're called to do the same thing? When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Oh, there's our first great temptation. Especially it seems for us women to keep our mouth be quiet. That's a great overcoming. Now, let's go back. Let's go to Mark 1. And we are going to go to verse 12. We're going to take a look now at how Jesus walked. Remember, if we want to be like him, we have to walk like he did. It says, Mark verse chapter 1, verse 12. And let's go up a little bit. Let's go to verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Talked about that a couple weeks ago. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, like a dove, descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, those God showed me years ago when I, with my children, you know, we want to say we're so proud of our children, but I didn't want my children to be in pride. So I said, Lord, how do I do this? Well, how did the Father do it right here? In whom I am well pleased. So I've been telling my children ever since when they do well, how pleased I was. That's just a little nugget for you mothers. All right, verse 12. And immediately, look at this. The Holy Ghost descends on him. He becomes full of the Holy Ghost. And it says immediately the Spirit, the Holy Ghost that he's full of, driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. I want us to see the word, the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. It was the Holy Ghost. It was the Spirit of God that drove Jesus into the wilderness. Why? to be tempted of Satan. Have you ever thought about that? God and Jesus, who are the words out of the Holy Ghost's mouth. Remember, the Holy Ghost cannot speak of himself. So it's God telling the Holy Ghost to drive Jesus into the wilderness. Would you believe the Holy Ghost would drive somebody into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan? Now, we learned last week God cannot tempt, but he will put you in a place where you are. And that's what the Holy Ghost does here. He drives Jesus into the wilderness. Now let's go back to Luke 4, and we're going to go into verse 1. We're going to look at the same thing here. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Look at this. Here it says he was led. But Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, I want us to take a note here, and I want us to show you something that helps us. In verse 1, it says, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was full of the Holy Ghost. You know, there are no written examples of him with miracles happening in the wilderness. But then I want you to go to verse 14. We're just going to take a look at it down there. And you can see it on the screen. And Jesus returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. In verse 1, it says Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. But in verse 14, it says he returned in the power of the Holy Ghost. Do you know that those are two different things? I'll give you a good example. In my own life, I was given, when I was newly married, I was given some very nice cookware, very nice cookware. But you know what? I had the cookware, but that didn't make me a good cook. That didn't make me a good cook. And I tell you, I wasn't. The first time that I tried to cook a certain meal that somebody liked was chicken cacciatore. And by the time they got to it, by the time I finished it, it was brown instead of red. So I knew I had all the equipment, but I didn't have the skill. Do you want, you have to learn the skill. Well, it's the same thing with the Holy Ghost. You can be baptized in the Holy Ghost and full of the Holy Ghost, but that is different in being able to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. Have you ever noticed the difference? You can be so full of the Holy Ghost, but nothing happens. You have to be able to walk in the power of the Spirit to get those miracles. And that's where we're headed. That's what we want, more than what we have now. Now let's go back up and look at verse 2. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now take a look here. Jesus is driven by the Holy Ghost into the wilderness. Do you know what? If we are going to be like our master, then we are going to have to be driven into the wilderness. If we are not driven into the wilderness and we end up doing the works of Jesus, then we are saying we are greater than our master. And that cannot be. If Jesus was driven into the wilderness, we are going to have to be. We are going to have to be. Now, our wilderness may look different than the next guy's wilderness, but there will be a day you will be in the wilderness. When I came to Water of Life Church, it was very soon after that. I came in May of 87, and by the, 84, and by November 87, God moved me and us out to Frisco. When I moved to the city of Frisco, Texas, it had a population of 3,000. Now it is going on, I think, 200,000 plus. But when I moved there, there was only 3,000. It was the wilderness. There was no, we had a brand new housing division. It was just growing up. God built a house for us. There was no houses to three lots to our right and three lots to our left. We were out in the middle of a field. You know what? That's where the wilderness was. God moved us to the wilderness. I couldn't even call my friends on the phone. Frisco was long distance from everywhere. and we didn't have the money to pay for long distance. So I was out in the wilderness. Why? To be tempted of the devil. Verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Do you see here that Jesus fasted? Do you see that for 40 days, Jesus didn't eat, he fasted? Now, we don't have to do 40 days of fasting, but we have to obey God, whatever he tells us. But I will tell you, if you're going to learn how to walk in the Spirit, there is going to be some fasting. We women here fast on Thursdays till evening meal for Doyle. That's fasting. Fasting, we fast for ourselves. We fast for our friends. We fast for our enemies. But there will be a day of fasting. Jesus fasted. Why? To humble his soul. I think it's Psalms that says, I humbled my soul with fasting. Humbled my soul. You got a soul that's all over the place, you may need to do some fasting. I remember when we first walked in this, when I was going to Water of Life Christian Training School, many weeks. We fasted Monday, Tuesday, and then ate the evening meal on Wednesday. But we obey God. Whatever God puts in your spirit, that's what you do. If you say, I can't fast at all, yeah, you can. Fast your favorites. Fast dessert. Fast breakfast. Fast something that you think you want to have. There are ways to fast. There are ways to begin. You know what? You begin. You begin. And God's grace will meet you and take you where you need to go. Now, verse 3. The devil said to Jesus. Now we're going to take a look at three of the temptations that Jesus had. Now remember, it says in here that 40 days Jesus was tempted of the devil. We only read about three of the temptations, but for 40 days Jesus was tempted of the devil. Why? To get to where he could walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, God puts us in situations that the only way out is to believe. And that is a blessed place to be. When there is no hope but God. And you know what? God will put you there. And that's where we learn how to walk. That's where we learn how to believe. That's where we learn how to walk in the power of the Spirit. And that's what Jesus is doing here. Now, verse 3, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. If, do you know I think that's the devil's favorite word? If you're born again, if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, if you're really one of God's kids, if, you know, I love the way Smith Wigglesworth says it. He says, if the devil is telling you that you are not born again, then you probably are. He said most likely you are. He said, if the devil's telling you that you don't have the baptism in the Holy Ghost and you can't speak in tongues, then you probably can. The devil will talk to you lies all day long, but remember, they're lies. The devil lies. He is a liar. And right here, he's talking to Jesus and he's lying. He said, if thou be the Son of God. The devil knew who he was. He wouldn't be bothering him if he didn't. The devil knew who Jesus was. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Why did the devil tell him that? Because the devil knew Jesus was hungry. It said that in the verse right before it. He afterward hungered. So Jesus here is hungry. I want you to realize these are three temptations. Temptations. That means there was something in Jesus' heart that he could be tempted with these three temptations. Otherwise, they wouldn't tempt him at all. Do you understand that? If there wasn't something in Jesus' heart that could be tempted with these three temptations, he wouldn't be tempted. I've used the example before. You can't tempt me with fried frog legs. You can't. Why? You could put a big dish of fresh fried frog legs in front of me, and I will most likely turn you down. Long story, but the one fried frog leg I tried once, it wasn't all dead. And so my lust for fried frog legs went right out the window. Well, Jesus had to have something in his heart that he could be tempted by the devil, and the devil knew it. The devil knew it. And now we're going to see when the devil comes to Jesus and he knows there's something in him that he can tempt him with, how Jesus responds. Because if we're going to walk like Jesus, we're going to respond just like Jesus. It says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That was Jesus's response. I want you to notice here that the devil said, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. Did Jesus make bread? No. No. He didn't do what the devil asked him to do. He didn't do it at all. He didn't let the devil lead him to sin. What did Jesus say? How did Jesus answer him? How did Jesus get out of the temptation? I love it. Oh, God, open our eyes to see how Jesus got out of this temptation. He says it in three words. It is written. It is written. He does not do what the devil wants him to do. He does not pay attention to the word if. What does he do? He says, it is written. It is written. He combated the devil with the word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now I want you to realize here, Jesus is full of the Holy Ghost, learning how to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. He says later in John that his words aren't his words. It is a beautiful thing that the Holy Ghost put those words in Jesus' spirit for him to speak to the devil. It is written. It is written. Thou shalt, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. How do we live? How do you and I live? Just like Jesus lived. Not by bread alone. Jesus had to eat. But by every word of God. By every word of God. Now, the next temptation. And the devil taketh him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil can do miracles. First, he takes Jesus up to a high mountain. You know, it's not like Jesus volunteered. The devil taking him up to a high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Did you know the devil has power? Do you know that the devil has power? He took Jesus up to a high mountain and then he talks to him. And the devil says to Jesus, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me. This is the devil talking to the Son of God. This is the devil talking to the Son of Man. This is the devil talking to a man that had a soul that could be tempted. So there had to be something in Jesus' heart here that he would even consider, that the devil could even get to him. Remember, these are called temptations. The devil said, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Right there, they're not Jesus's. Whose are they? They're the devil's. How did he get them? Through Adam. Adam handed them over. It says, for that is delivered unto me, unto whomsoever I will give it. I give it. If thou will worship me, all shall be thine. Now, how does our example come back at this? If you will worship me, I'll give you the best job ever. If you will worship me, I'll make you manager of the whole organization. If you will worship me, I'll make you the most popular rock singer in America. If you will bow down and worship me, what can we be tempted with? I'll give you the most handsome man as a husband. I'll give you the most beautiful woman as a husband. What can you be tempted with? It says, if thou will therefore worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, get thee behind me. Did he yield to temptation? No. No. Father, open our eyes to see when we are tempted. He said, Satan, for it is written. It is written. How did he combat the devil? It is written. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He was quoting Deuteronomy. In fact, the bread alone is Deuteronomy. It says, and him only shalt thou serve. That's how he overcame the devil. Him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil, in the third temptation, he brought him to Jerusalem. He brought Jesus to Jerusalem. Did you know the devil can move you around? He brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And the devil said unto Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, if, he's tempting him again, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written. The devil now is quoting the Bible. Oh, have you ever heard him quote the Bible? Devil loves to quote the Bible, but he doesn't quote it right. He'll twist it. Right here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. So throw yourself off. So throw yourself off. Oh, you're a big man of God, do this. Oh, you're a woman of faith, do this. Jesus didn't do what the devil told him. Jesus didn't do the if. You know, we used to call that when we were kids, a dare. I dare you. I dare you to do this. I dare you to do that. You know what the devil does? That's the devil talking. That's the devil talking. If you be a child of God, then do this. He takes the scripture and he twists it. And notice how Jesus answers. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said. Another way to say it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He answered him with scripture. He answered him with what was written in the word. You know, we do the same thing. We do the same thing. How many times the devil came to me when I was in the wilderness and learning how to walk? And oh, those days there was struggling. There was big struggling. There were days, like I said, I didn't even know if I was born again. And the devil was certainly happy to tell me I wasn't. It would say, you're not born again. And I would say, it is written. It is written. It is written. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And believe in thy heart, and thou in thy heart God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I would say that. I would talk right back at him. Jesus, talk to him. You don't have to be afraid of the devil and not talk to him. Talk right back at him. Quote the word. Quote the words of Jesus. That's how Jesus got him off. We do the same. We quote him the word. Now, it says, verse 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Notice, just for a season. He came back. Now, verse 14, after all the 40 days in the wilderness. And you know what? That was Jesus 40 days fasting, praying in the wilderness, learning how to walk in the power of the Spirit of God, learning how to take the equipment that God gave him. Remember before Jesus was baptized in the Holy Ghost, Jesus was not baptized in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit descended like a dove upon him and he was full. Of the Holy Ghost. It does not say he was baptized. I've got to get that out of my vocabulary. But when Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, up until that time, he had never done a miracle. He had never done a miracle. But he goes into the wilderness, and when he comes out, he gets in the wilderness, and that's where he learns to work with the equipment God gave him. And what was the equipment? The equipment was the Spirit of God. And the power. Equipment was the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, and the power. What did Jesus tell the disciples in Acts 1? It says, stay in Jerusalem and you'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You'll be baptized with the Spirit and power and fire. Two different things. And here we see Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. But when he came out, when he came out of those temptations, when he had been tempted enough, he came out of there in the power of the Spirit. In the power. Now, I want us to go to 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7. This is Peter speaking, and he's speaking to us. He said, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Welcome to the wilderness. Welcome to the wilderness. You know what? It's a beautiful place to be. It is, especially when you get out, especially when you're on the other side. Are we out of the wilderness all the way? No. I believe that we have trials continually. I don't believe there'll be a day that we will not be in a trial. But you know what? Every trial gets a little deeper, a little higher, a little stronger. Why? It makes our faith grow. Take a look at verse 7. That the trial of your faith. What are the temptations for? The trial of your faith. That's what Jesus had to do. His faith had to be tried. Says, being much more precious than gold that perisheth. How can faith be more precious than gold? Faith will bring the gold. Faith will bring everything you need. Faith will bring you your job. It'll bring you your food. It'll bring you your money. It'll bring you your health. It'll bring your family in. Faith will bring in anything you need when you walk in obedience to God. It says, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Thank God for the fire. It says, when we're in the fire, count it all joy. Why? Because we know we are in there because the Father knows we can do this. God will not put you in a trial that you cannot handle. He will not put you in a place, that is a promise. There's no temptation taken you that is common to man, that is not common to man, that God will not get you out. He will not let you be tempted more than you can handle. The only problem is he knows you can handle a whole lot more than what you think. Though it be tried with fire, just like Jesus's was, and might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There's a reason we do this. And the reason is the rewards afterwards. We will be reigning in Jesus for 1,000 years. I want the rewards. I don't want the little cabin on the edge of glory land barely there. I want the rewards. And not only that, I want the power. I see, I witness, I experience the power of God here, and there is nothing that compares to the power of God. And I want you to walk in that same power. I want you to walk with Jesus where he knows your name and you know him. That's where we want to walk. We want to walk where the things that we say, the things that Jesus did, we do also. And Jesus said, greater works than these. Well, we do, because he goes to the Father. That's not talking about just the preacher. That's talking about the mom. That's talking about grandma. That's talking about the high schooler. That's talking about the father. That's talking about the son. That's talking about grandpa. That's talking about uncles and aunts. That's talking about everybody. That power is available. That's one of the reasons Jesus died. He said, I can't send the Holy Ghost until I'm dead, until I'm raised from the dead, until I go to the Father, and I'll send him. And what comes along with that Holy Ghost? He drives you into the wilderness so you can come out as gold. If you are not born again, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that prayer that you can be born again, that you can get the Spirit of Jesus in you. If you are not born again, pray this prayer with me. Jesus, come into my life. come into my life. Be Lord of it. Be Lord of my life. Take me. Guide me. Lead me. Fix me. And I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, it is a promise. Jesus made it. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, let's pray a little bit together. We have a little bit more, freedom here on this. And we have an opportunity to pray. I tell you what, I believe that you have on this, on what you see from me, you have a place where you can raise your hand. If you need prayer, raise your hand and we'll all join together and pray. We don't have to tell me what it is, but if you need prayer, I'm going to pray. And if you can raise your hand, there's a little hand I think up there. I see it. Yes, I see them. All right. I see. Oh, six. All right. We're going to pray. All right. And I want you to pray with me. Let's join our faith together for those of us that need prayer. Father, I thank you. I give thanks. Father, I thank you. I give thanks. Father, I thank you for your power right now. Father, I thank you for your power right now. I thank you for your power. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Father, for your power right now. I thank you for that resurrection power. Join your faith with me. And if you don't need prayer, pray for those that do. Father, I thank you. I pray right now for that resurrection power. Father, I thank you for that power now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the power of God now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for that power. I thank you for that power now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for that power now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for that power. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I give thanks, Father, for that power now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the power of God now. Father, I thank you for that power. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. I thank you for that power right now. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. You're ministering to these now in Jesus' name. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you for that power now in the name of Jesus. I thank you. 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 I thank you for that power. I thank you now for that power now on them. I thank you for the power of God on them now. I thank you, Father. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for that power. I thank you. I thank you. I drive this spirit out. I drive you out in the name of Jesus. I drive you out. I drive you out. I drive you out. I drive you out. I drive you out in Jesus' name. I drive you out. I drive the spirit out. Yeah. I drive you out in Jesus' name. I drive you out. I drive this devil out. I drive you out in the name of Jesus. I drive you out. I drive you out, you witchcraft. I drive you. I drive you. I drive you. I drive you out in Jesus' name. I drive this spirit out. I drive you out. I drive you out in Jesus' name. I drive this unbelief out. I drive this unbelief out. I drive you out in Jesus' name. He died for those in unbelief. I drive this spirit out. I drive this spirit out. I drive out doubt. I drive out doubt. I in Jesus' name. I drive you out in the name of Jesus. I drive you out. 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 I drive you out in Jesus' name. I drive you out. 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 I drive you out in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. I get thanks, Father. I thank you. I get thanks, Father, for this power on them now. Father, I thank you for this power on them now. I get thanks, Father, for your power on them now. And Father, I thank you. I thank you right now, you minister forgiveness. Father, I thank you. Your power, your spirit of grace now, ministering forgiveness. Ministering forgiveness. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Father, I thank you. You minister to these forgiveness. I thank you. You minister forgiveness. I thank you. You minister forgiveness. I thank you. That's what the blood was for. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you. That's what the blood was for. I thank you. You minister forgiveness to them right now. That you blot everything out of the book. I get thanks, Father, that you blot everything out of the book by the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you minister forgiveness, that you blot it out of the book in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, thank you for that blood. And Father, for those, grant them the grace. Grant them the grace to forgive. Father, grant them the grace to forgive. To forgive. Oh, if we would look at the cross and Jesus on it, and know that he was paying for the whatever they have done to you, or whatever they have done to others, it is a lot easier to forgive. He not only went to the cross for you and I, but he went for them. Father, I thank you. You minister forgiveness. You grant them the grace to forgive. The grace to forgive so that they can be forgiven. Father, I thank you. I get thanks. I thank you. Father, I thank you now. I thank you for your power ministering to them now. I thank you, Father. I thank you. I get thanks. I get thanks, Father. I thank you. I get thanks, Father. I thank you. I get thanks, Father. I thank you. I thank you for that power. I thank you for that power. I thank you, Father, for that power. I thank you, that power is greater than all. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your power now. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for that power now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. Whatever they need, you hear. Father, I thank you. Whatever they need, you hear. Father, I thank you. Whatever they need, you hear. I get thanks, Father, for that power. I get thanks. I get thanks. I get thanks. Whatever they need, you here. I give thanks. I give thanks, Father. I thank you. This week went better than last week. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. God's ministered to you, let me know. I have, we've got several, and I won't stop praying. I see your hands up. I'll be praying for you this week. But you know what, ladies, gentlemen, we pray for each other. Job said that when God said when Job prayed for his friends, God turned his captivity. Some of us need to be praying for our friends more, and he'll turn our captivity. Amen. See you next week. God bless.
Thank you for joining Kathy Davidson and the ministers of music from Water of Life Church. She would love to hear from you. You may reach her by email at kd@kdwol.com. Or you may write her at Kathy Davidson, care of Water of Life Church, Post Office Box 861-327, Plano, Texas, 75086. You may find her on the internet at www.kdwol.com and on Facebook and Twitter. Until next time, God bless.